risen from the dead. He said, you wait in Jerusalem and you'll be baptized with fire, right? With fire. Fire. I think we need another baptism of fire. Come on. Anybody in here just, you know, it's like, Lord, come on, light the fire again, right? Come on, I need the fire going. I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to continue to be filled and filled and filled and filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. God's good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37. And we're mainly going to be in Psalm 37. I was reading this the other day and God just started speaking to me out of it. And I just want to share with you some things and some thoughts. And I just know that God's going to deal with us tonight in a powerful way. Glory to God. Because as I was reading it, I was applying it to today. Mike, could you turn this down just a little bit? Glory to God. Glory to God. So as I was reading this, I said, you know, this could be have written for right now as we're living in this United States, in the world with COVID and everything else going on. It could have been written for that. Now listen to what it says in verse 1. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. You know, there are times where you look at people in the world and you think, God, how come they're blessed and I'm not? How come this is happening and what's going on? And you get to the place where you go, You got to understand that no. I'm doing things God's way. I've read the book. I'm doing it His way. So anyway, it's all good. But watch this. We've got to come back to the place where we understand His way's right. And once we understand that, we get that settled in our heart, then we can't worry about what everybody else is doing. Right? It doesn't matter if the whole world goes a different way. As long as we have God's Word and we're walking in line with His Word, then it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they try to change. God's Word is the same. Right? And there's a big thing about that book was written a long time ago, and it may not be as relevant for today as it could be. And you know, we've got to change with God. Doesn't change, right? If He said it in His Word. Now I know there can be some translation issues that this word doesn't mean the same thing as and all of that, but ultimately His Word is right. So once we get that settled in our hearts and we make that stand for ourselves, then we can stand in the midst of anything that's going on. So don't worry about what's going on CNN. Don't worry about what's going on with you know, people that are outside of God's Word. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. Right? Don't fret. I like that word, fret. We don't use that very much, but we do a lot of fretting. But don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret if the economy isn't going the way you think it should. Don't fret if you know gas prices are going high. Don't fret because God's got you. Right? God's got you. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. The next verse is one that is used a lot, and there's several verses within this psalm that are taken out of the setting and used, and rightfully so. But on the other hand, when you read them in context of what he's saying, it makes a whole lot more sense, and it brings us to a foundation that we can say, okay, now wait a minute. There's some accountability to me, and there's a promise of God. All promises of God, you know, they're conditional on whether you're following Him or not. Right? So now watch this. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? You said it, God. I trust You. You told me to do something, God. I trust You. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working, even when it doesn't seem like it may make the most sense, right? You know, you're broke and God says to give something away. That doesn't make sense. But yet, when you become obedient to do it, then God, pushes through. You know, another one, love your enemies. Who wants to do that? You know, there's some people I'd rather punch than love. Right? I mean, just being honest. But the reality is I have a command from the Lord to love my enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. That doesn't make sense, but it does if you trust the Lord. Right? God is my source. I trust God for everything. Now watch this. And then it goes on, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now this is, and I believe it has a dual application. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then your heart's desires will line up with Him. Right? It's not like, well, I'm just going to delight myself in the Lord and I can have anything I want. Well, not so much. It's like, delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? I get my pleasure out of doing what God wants. Right? So even when it doesn't make sense to me, I get pleasure out of doing what's right. So God, I read something in Your Word the other day, and it didn't make sense to me, but Lord, I'm just going to act like it's true, and I'm going to start doing it even though it doesn't make sense to me. Right? I mean, God will speak to you out of His Word, and you go, wait a minute, delight myself in the Lord. How much delight have I been putting into my relationship with the Lord? You know, what does that mean? That means be happy about it. Right? So many of us are going around, I love the Lord. You know, I love the Lord. Or we sing, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. That's true, but what about today? What about right now? What about right here? It's like, I don't have to wait to get to heaven to be in delight of who He is and what He's done in my life and the fact that He, the God of the universe, the God who made everything, knows my name. He knows every hair on my head. He doesn't have to count as high much anymore. But he knows everything about me, and I need to delight in that. God, You love me? Woohoo! Come on. Delight in the Lord. And when you delight and trust in the Lord, then He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I think that He'll give you things that He's put a desire in you for. Because it's not like we just have to be poor, busted, and disgusted. I don't think that's the key. I think that God likes us to have nice things. He doesn't mind us having nice things. But we have to have the nice things that He's put in our heart. Right? I like to take care of my wife. I like to be able to give her things and all that. God doesn't mind that. In fact, He allows me to do that. He's taken really good care of us. And He's going to continue. But my portion isn't to measure out what I'm getting. My portion is to delight in the Lord. So again, how much delight have we done in the Lord? How much have we just thanked Him and acknowledged Him in everything that we do, in everything that we have? Lord, I just want to thank You for the air that I'm breathing. I want to thank You, Lord, that I have clean clothes to put on this morning. Lord, I just acknowledge the fact that You're in me, that You're speaking to me, that You're with me, that You're for me. God, I just want to praise You and thank You. See, I'm delighting in the Lord. There's an active part of taking delight. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Come on. Commit your way to the Lord. What does that mean? Lord, I'm doing it your way. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And we have His word for it, but there are times where the Lord would prompt us to do certain things. We go, you know, I don't really want to do that. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because I've committed my way to the Lord. In other words, Lord, no matter what you tell me to do, I'm going to do. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, man, you've done everything right. Only one thing that I require of you, that you sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. That wasn't because God wanted to take everything away from him, but God wanted to fix that place in his heart. That covetousness was putting a bitter root into. He wanted to fix that. And I believe that God would have just poured out even more to him afterwards. Come on. So we have to commit our way to the Lord. Does that make sense? Come on. Commit your way to the Lord. And trust him also. Lord, if you say to do it that way, I'm going to do it. You know. You know, some men, not me, but some men might say, Lord, you want me to love my wife as Christ loved the church? Have you met her? Not me. Now, you've met Renita. You know, she's awesome. It's not hard for me to do. Or let's turn it around. Some women say, you want me to honor him? Do you know him? Have you met him? I can't honor him. But yet, if we're going to commit our way to the Lord and trust in him, then we're going to do what he wants us to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Right? All right, come on. Psalm 37, and look at verse 6 again. It says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. How many know that my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in his presence? None of us can do right enough to earn our place with him. But Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the more that I just press into him and quit expecting me to be the Lord of my life, the more I can walk in his righteous steps. Come on. I have a part in it. What's my part in it? My part in it is to trust in the Lord. My part in it is to commit my way to the Lord. And my part in it is to delight in the Lord. Oftentimes when things don't go right, we forget to delight. Why me, God? Why me? And the reality is, at that point, it's even more important to delight in him so that you don't go down the rabbit hole of depression. Right? If you'll delight in him, he'll lift that off of you. He'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, but you must come to him by trusting him, committing your ways to him, and by a choice, delight in him. Glory to God. It's exciting to serve Jesus. Let me say that again. It's exciting to serve Jesus. I love the Lord. Verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. In other words, when everybody seems to be getting over, when the person you didn't want gets voted in, when all of that kind of things happen, you've got to rest in the Lord. God, this is not the way I thought it should go, but I'm going to trust you in the midst of it, and I'm going to rest in you. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? That means that you cast all of your cares onto him, and you quit picking them back up. Most of us cast our cares with a fishing reel. right? That's not resting in the Lord, right? That's resting with strings attached. God, I'll rejoice in you. I'll commit my ways with you. I'll delight in you. I'll do all those things with you as long as I think things are going in the correct manner. But the minute that something happens that I don't understand, I'm going to go a completely different way. Are you with me? But no. Rest in the Lord. God, I don't understand this. I don't understand why my friend died. I don't understand why my husband's gone. I don't understand why, you know, this didn't work out or the business failed. I don't understand all that. But Lord, tonight when I go to bed, I'm going to rest in you. I'm just going to rest in you. I'm going to be at peace. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm not going to worry because God, you're with me. You're for me. And it doesn't matter if somebody gets over because they're doing wickedly and you think, God, how did they get a promotion and not me? They lie and cheat and steal and do all of this and yet they got the promotion. Shush. Trust God. Rest in Him. Don't worry about that. Why? Because, watch this, if you'll stay doing the right thing over the long haul, you'll get the promotion and the other one will be found out. But here's the bottom line, too. If I'm never promoted, do I want to be promoted by man? Or do I want to be promoted by God? Right? God, I'm going to do the right thing because you want me to do the right thing. Even if somebody else doesn't like it, you know, I'm not doing it to spite them. But Lord, I'm doing that because I'm delighting in you. See, are we living our lives and doing every decision? Now listen, every decision that we make, we should be delighting in the Lord and we should be committing our ways to Him and saying, Lord, I want your way, not my way. And it comes to everything. What TV shows are we watching? What are we doing with our time? We're talking about stewardship on Sunday. What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with all of that? God, I want to delight in you. I want to do things the way that you want to. Even, Lord, if it costs me my life, I want to delight in you. Right? Look at the apostles, and most of them, if you went through their history, all of them but John were martyred. What does that mean? They were killed. They were tortured. They were beat. They were hung. I mean, Christians back in the day, and I don't want to get too graphic, but Nero use Christians as nightlights. All up and down the roads, he'd burn them. And that was, but they went worshiping God. Even in the midst of that, they delighted in the Lord. And so many testimonies came out of that, right? But we have to be in a place where I'm choosing to delight in the Lord no matter what comes on. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Come on. Stop getting angry. Here's what happens is the minute that we give... Now, there's a place for anger, but there's a place for righteous anger, but not an anger that controls you to the point that it makes you do things that aren't right. You get the difference? If somebody comes into my house and breaks into my house and wants to take out my wife, I'm going to get pretty angry about it, and it's going to cause me to do something to protect her. That there's nothing wrong with that. But if I decide that you've done me wrong, and I'm meditating on that for days and months and years, and every time I think about you, anger rises up in me, then the enemy has got a hold of me and I'm not acting the way God wants me to act. Right? So this says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Come on, like I said before, there are days. There are some folks, you know, you just, Lord, I want to bless them. I want to bless them with a brick. Right, just one brick, Lord. That's all I need. One brick. One time, Lord, would you just allow me one brick? And the reality is no. Because God will take care of it. At the end of the day, watch this. Now, if you really carry this out and think about this for a minute, I think that if the Lord ever gave us a revelation of what hell is, we would never want anybody to go there. We wouldn't want anybody to go there. Even Hitler, even, you know, Stalin, even, you know, all those people that did atrocities, Ted Bundy, any of the, we wouldn't want them to go to hell. But yet, if we're angry over somebody for a long period of time, then we're actually wanting God to curse them. And you know, back in the day, it was a sick 'em Holy Ghost, right? The vengeance is your God, get 'em. No, I'm praying for mercy because I need mercy, right? But I need to hand it over. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Your payday's coming. And it may not happen on this earth. You may not receive everything that God has for you. In fact, I know you won't while you're living on this earth. But this isn't all there is. We're going to live for eternity. You think you're delighting in God now? Wait till you get to heaven. Wait till you get to heaven. It's coming. Sure, you know, Gary passed away, a few months, about a month ago, I think. And Sherry had a vision. Well, she was in worship and she saw Gary and Jesus embracing. And they were both laughing, you know, hysterically. So I've experienced that with Gary on the earth, but just think about in heaven. Glory to God. That's what we have to inherit. So why should we be taken down and brought to the place low in our emotions here when we're just passing through here? You ever think about it? This is not where you belong. This is not your home. You're just a sojourner. That means you're just a traveler. You're going through. But there's coming a day, glory to God, when you're going to see Him face to face. And you're going to be home. You're going to be wanted. You're going to belong there because of the blood of Jesus. So don't get hung up and don't stay hung up in the day-to-day things. And I don't know, some things are really tough. Some things, you know, you're around people that are just irritating, or you're in situations, maybe some people who are suffering physically and you know, the pain is day after day after day after day. Man, that's torment. But yet we have to pursue God in the midst of it and say, Lord, I don't understand this. I believe that by Your stripes I'm healed and all of that. The manifestation hasn't come yet. But I'm going to choose to delight in You anyway. I'm going to choose to commit my ways to You. Listen. God doesn't owe you anything. God, but I prayed enough and I did this enough and I did that. What you just talked about is works. I need to get rewarded based on what I do. If you do that, you're in trouble. But if you'll receive just because God wants to give it to you, it's a whole different thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Shh, glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You see, again, it does you good to do what the Lord requires of you. Jesus talked in the Beatitudes and He said some of those, you know, blessed are you when this happens. Blessed are you when that happens. Blessed, and you think, this doesn't add up. Well, quit trying to add it up. Just do, if you want to be blessed, just do what he says to do and you'll be blessed. But how many know that sometimes it takes time of doing things over and over again? At the beginning, it doesn't seem to be doing anything. I've been on many, let's just say I've lost a lot of weight. I've gained a lot back, but I've lost a lot of weight, right? So I've been on many, many, many diets. I've been on many, many diets. And at first, that first day, and you think, I get boiled eggs for breakfast. I can't have an apple fritter this morning. All of those things, and you go, oh. And you run to the scale the next day, and you go, I haven't lost any weight. That was such suffering that yesterday, and I haven't lost any weight. Well, I'm going to eat a donut. We're right, and that's how sometimes we get with the things of God. God says, do it this way, walk this way, and we don't see an immediate result. We stop doing it, but we have to stick with it and just say, God, I'm doing it because you said to do it. I don't care if I ever see a result. I'm just going to continue to do it. Come on, I'm going to continue to pursue it because my goal is to be a delight to you and delight in you. Is that good? So even now, I can't turn that way. Even now, in the day that we're living in, right? The day that we're living in, and we see such things going on that, you know, I'm old, right? I mean, I've lived a long time. If you told me in the 60s what we'd be seeing today, I'd have said, you're nuts. It'll never happen. But yet we're living in the midst of it right now. I can get down and go, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I don't want to go there. I want to say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In the midst of this, Lord, I know that you're mighty. I know that you're awesome. I know that you're right. And, Lord, I want to be in that right place. I want to delight in you. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something out of this tonight. I hope you're, you know, it's refocusing some things in you and maybe some things that you're going through. I'm not saying we'll pray about those things, and I'm not saying that those things aren't real, but the reality is we have to put our focus back on Him. Glory to God. Verse 12 says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow and to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, if we'll let God handle it, we don't have to worry about what this group is saying. We don't have to worry about what that group is saying. We don't have to be pressured into letting our emotions drive us away from the peace of God. We can rest in Him and say, God, you know, have mercy on our country, Lord. Don't give us what we deserve because, you know. But on the other hand, Lord, I just trust in you. I trust in you. How many spend a lot of time, and I don't think it's wrong necessarily to, you know, have food and provisions and make plans for different things. But what are we doing spending all of our energy thinking about how bad it's going to get? Christians all over the world, I mean, I remember when Y2K happened. Man, that was 22 years ago. 21 years ago. 21 years ago. Can you believe that? I remember it was like yesterday. But we were all prepping. We were all getting beans and rice and water and because everything's going to go, you know. Well, at the end of the day, who cares? Think about this. I'm going to store up some food, man. I'm going to build a shelter. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having, I think that we should all have, you know, goods and stuff stocked up. But on the other hand, it's like, if your neighbors know that you got food and they don't, they're coming to your house. They're coming, so you better have an arsenal to protect it. But why not trust in God? Because I think what God would say is, fill the pot. Feed the neighbors. But God, if I do this, I won't have it. Fill the pot. And I'll multiply it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like, let's live today like God's word is true and begin to commit our ways to Him, begin to delight in Him, begin to praise Him again. Glory to God. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord upholds the righteous. He's got me. He's got me. I said, the Lord has me. He's taking care of me. He's a good daddy and He takes care of me. Right? I trust Him. I just trust Him. It may not make sense. And sometimes my mind is screaming at me. Well, what are you going to do if this happens? What are you going to do if that happens? What are you going to do if that happens? Shut up, mind. I'm going to trust God. I'll just say this. I worked for the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard for 11 years. And, you know, I was building a pretty good retirement at that time. But the church started going and I felt like I was supposed to become pastor full time. Well, there were some lean years. And so most of that retirement just went out the wayside. What am I going to do? I'm going to trust God. He's my provider. He takes care of me. I ate pretty good today. I think I'll eat pretty good tomorrow. And 10 years from now, I'm going to eat pretty good. I'll have a roof over my head. I'll have clothes on my back. Because I trust God. I trust God. Whew. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. Look at this now. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Are you listening to that? God knows every day that you're gonna live. Every one of them. He actually knows when your days are going to be over here on the earth. But your days are not going to be ever over. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There was a song years ago that says, Lord, I want to get so close to You that when I die, it's not a big deal. Because I'm just going to step out of these clothes and I know You so well, it'll be just like a little transformation. Glory to God. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I trust God. Yeah, but what if you get cancer? Well, I'm not going to get cancer, but if I got cancer, I would trust God. Well, what if you weren't healed of cancer? Well, I'm going to be in heaven. Do you understand? And I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And when I get to heaven, I won't have any cancer. Right? In fact, these light afflictions are nothing to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that I'm going to have for Him forever and ever and ever. Do you know I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places right now? Mm-mm-mm. Glory to God. Verse 19, it says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Delight in Him. In the midst of famine, He'll see that you're fed. He'll see that you're fed. But God, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Oh God, what should I do? Should I store up? Should I do this? Should I do this? Oh, I need to be a prepper. I need to do this. No. I mean, if God leads you to do certain things, go ahead and do them. But if the bottom line is that if He needs to, He'll have birds drop over lunch. Right? He'll bring manna and have it rain down in the sky. He'll have water come out of a rock. He knows how to take care of you. How did Jesus say that if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father? And remember, he was talking to his disciples and he said, look at the birds. God takes care of them. Look at the flowers. He dresses them all right. Right? So much more he'll take care of you. But here's what we do. We let worry, what did the first verse say? Fret not. We let worry get in our brain, and it leads us to places we don't need to go. Right? Tonight, I want you to be free from worry. I want you to be free. How do you get free from it? You trust God. Oh, well. Right? Oh, well. That didn't go right. Oh, well, God, you're still with me. As long as I don't wake up one morning and go, uh-oh. Right? I think God left. Then I'm good. I'm good because I trust Him. Whew, glory to God. Verse 20 says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. The righteous shows mercy and give. I want to be somebody that's known as merciful. I want to be known by giving. I want to be a giver, a giver, a giver, a giver, a giver. Why? Because my daddy's a giver. My daddy shows mercy. I want to be just like him. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. I want to give anyway. It's paid off for us. Let me just, you know, as a church, like we rented the building on Wildwood for many, many years, 20 years, over 20 years. And we put a lot of finances into that building. We fixed things, we remodeled things, and we painted, we did all of those things. And somebody said, well, why are you doing this when you don't own the building? I said, well, because God owns the building and it's the right thing to do. And I'm not doing it to keep score. I'm doing it for the kingdom of God. And even now, the only thing that bothered me, the thing that bothered me the worst when the whole selling of the property was going on is there was talk about them tearing the church down. There was talk about a daycare center coming in. And I thought, God, this property was dedicated for you. So I didn't like moving from there. But look at God's supplied. We're doing good. But the kingdom of God is still being advanced in the building. Another church is in there. They're doing good. Going to lunch with the pastor next week. So again, but doing that and having that attitude is, I believe, a big reason why we're here. Why we didn't shut down. Why even during all the pandemic, God supplied the needs of the church. And actually, you know, you may not know it, but like tonight, we're here preaching. But before next week, there will probably be over 100 people that have watched this particular feed. It's been amazing. But why? It's because we're putting in what God wants us to put in. We're doing things the way God wants us to do. And then He has a way of increasing it. Glory to God. Now look at this next verse. And I'm going to tell you a story about this next verse. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Isn't that a great verse? Years ago, I was having to make a decision, and it was It was a rough decision. I could have went either way, and I was seeking God. But you know when your friends, like Job's friends, they have their opinions, and their opinions aren't clarifying anything? It's like, you know, you're all over the place. And somebody sent me, back in the day when they did it, you know, they did the calligraphy and they framed it and they put it up on the, you know, whatever. But somebody sent me this beautiful calligraphy framed verse. It was this verse. Come on, it was this verse. The steps of a good man, it's King James, so the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, I may not know what to do right now, but I have to trust that God's going to show me where to step. And then after I do that one, He's going to show me where to step. And after I do that one, He's going to show me where to step. And you know what He did? And He does. And He's still doing it. The steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now, I want to take a different spin on that. If I am seeking after righteousness, then I'm going to step where righteousness is. Right? I've preached a message, and I get comments on it all the time, years ago. It's really funny how people remember certain things. But I preached a message years ago called Holy Don't Go There. Holy Don't Go There. And the reality is if we're walking with God, if we're delighting in God, if we're committing our ways with God, there are certain things we're not going to do. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to cheat to you. I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to, you know, try to covet what you have. I'm not going to do those things. Why? Because I've delighted in the Lord. I'm committed to doing His ways. And that's not what He'd have me to do. So that's going to dictate where I walk. If I'm committed to God, if I'm walking in His ways, then I'm not going to cheat on my taxes. Right? I'll just tell you a story. When the pandemic was going on, or still going on, when will it ever learn? Anyway, but it was still going on. But when it first started, I started talking about King Inslee with all the restrictions. But in my spirit, I heard these words: honor those who have authority over you. Now, I could continue to walk in my way, but that was the Spirit of God. And so He was trying to order my steps aright. So I had to quit saying that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on. He will direct your steps. He will give you a path for your life and a path for tomorrow. And what's going to happen in 10 years? I'm going to trust the Lord. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to trust the Lord. What's going to happen tonight? I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, what if I'm going to trust the Lord? But what? I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to delight in Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. Glory to God. I think there are times where we have to force our emotions because our emotions are trying to force us in a different way. Come on. I'm going to praise Him with every breath. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Verse 25. I've been young and I'm old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. When I think about provision, when I think about, well, you know, if you'd have stayed with the shipyard and you'd be at this place and you could be retired playing golf every day and I think, forget all of that. I come back to this verse over and over again. I said, listen, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. I'm committed to His ways. I delight myself in Him. Glory to God. That means I make myself happy in God. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. I understand. I have sympathy for you, for the things that you're going through. But what I want to do is help pull you out of that by reminding you to get happy in God. What does that mean? Sometimes in the midst of the turmoil, confusion, everything, I think it's good to just start laughing. Start laughing. What do you mean? Ha, ha, ha. Sometimes, ha, ha, ha. Right? Ha, ha, ha. Did you know that laughter causes some physiological reactions? That causes chemical reactions in your brain and everything, just laughing. And what they've found is that fake laughing does the same thing. And if you'll fake it long enough, it will become real. So sometimes delighting in the Lord is picture Gary and Jesus arm in arm and they're laughing hysterically. Sometimes just imagine yourself in the arms of Jesus and start laughing. That sounds crazy. Well, how's it working for you now? How's your belly aching? How's your complaining? How's your victimhood working for you? Not good. Because it's leading you down a path that's not good. It's leading you down a path that says, yeah, you don't know what they're saying about me. Well, I don't care what they're saying about you. Trust in Him. Right? He's going to keep score. Everything will work out at the end. Quit worrying about what so-and-so is saying. Yeah, but they said this and they said that and they're doing this to my family. Forget all of that. Forget all of that. Why? Has God got you or doesn't He? If He's got you, then delight in Him. Say, I don't care what they say. Years ago, and I'll close. But years ago, there was a situation happened in the church, and I was going to get up on Sunday morning. And I was going to straighten everything out. There were some things said, things being done, whatever. Lord, I mean, I had notes. I was going to make sure that everybody knew what the truth was. I'm just, you know, I'm the pastor. I need to straighten this out from the pulpit. And, you know, I'm getting all ready. I think I was still working at that time at the shipyard. And so Saturday I'm just praying and getting ready for Sunday. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, well, Lord, you know the truth. Yeah, I know the truth. Well, I'm just going to, He said, look at it. He said, here, and He gave me this picture. And it's really good. And think about this and consider this. Have you ever been in the middle of summer in a dry area where the grass is all brown and it's just, you know, there's a lot of, and then in the middle of the camp area, there's this great big fire pit. And it's made so that you can have a fire in there, but it won't, you know, go out. So it's dug down in and it's a deep pit and it's safe so you can have a fire in the pit. The Lord said to me, He said, listen, if you start to go outside of the circle of the pit to try to put all of those grass fires out, the minute that you step on one, it'll spread to another. It'll spread to another. And it'll just blaze. But if you'll just worry about the fire that's in the middle, and He was talking about my relationship with Him, He said, those fires will go out. But the minute that you spend your time trying to put out the fires by making sure that everybody knows that you're right, it's just going to cause the fires to continue. But if you'll go, Lord, I trust You. You know the truth. And Lord, if there's any truth that I'm not acknowledging, God, I just want to submit myself to You. I'll repent of anything. God, I just want to trust You. I want to delight in You. I want to just praise You and worship You, God. And I just give You all the glory for my life. Lord, this life is just a vapor. What can they do to me? What can they do to me? God, I'm going to just trust You and delight in You. And Lord, I'll just trust that You will balance the scales. You'll figure it all out. Don't give them what they deserve, God. Don't give them what they deserve, because, Lord, if I got what I deserved, I'd be a mess. So I'm just going to trust you with all of that. Amen? So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Fret not yourself because of what things are going around. Just trust in the Lord. Commit your ways to Him. Delight in Him, and He'll take care of you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for everybody that's watching on the live stream. I thank you for the folks that are here in the room. Lord, I just ask you to just burn this into our hearts. Forgive me, Lord, for fretting. Forgive me for having anxiety over things that are outside of my control, God. I just put all of that into your hands, Lord, right now. And I just expect right now, even in this room and people that are watching, God, as we're lifting our hands to you, we're releasing all of our cares to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you're taking them. And Lord, at the end of the day, we're going to be right because Jesus is right. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thanks for watching, and God bless you. If you need prayer, give us a call. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen.